Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Hello everyone, it's Linda Ocor-Jenner here again with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. In case you've forgotten who I am, I'm one of the co-founders and the Small Business Community Network has been operating for 21 years now, helping many people, small businesses, people in the corporate world. Where networking is concerned, we are the number one place to come and get help from us. Today, I'm very honoured to have the other co-founder join me, Dave Ocor-Jenner. Hi, Dave.
Hey, I'm not sure honoured is the right word, but we'll go with it, sure.
Well, I like to say I'm the face of the business and you're the clever guy hiding behind the website. Nobody ever really sees you. And I think it's wonderful that we make a good partnership, and I think that takes us nicely into, you know, why do we need a partner? How do we find a partner? Are there some things we should do to make sure that the partnership is safe? I'm sure you have a few stories like I do.
Well, I mean, it's certainly very true that we can't do everything ourselves, or at least we can't do a good job if we're trying to do everything ourselves. So finding other people to help, lend their expertise, actually take some of the burden, I think is very important.
Yeah, I agree. And as you know, I often meet people who want to know more about the Small Business Community Network. And if I can't meet them for coffee, lunch, or at another networking event, we do a Zoom like this. And if they're thinking about finding a partner, I ask them some very, very important questions. If it's a man and a woman, two women, two men, just a two-person partnership, one of the first questions I normally ask is, do you guys know each other? And Dave, I'm sure you know why I'm asking that question.
Well, I assume that I do. And I think if I were to give it a stab, I'd say it's because you're going to be spending an awful lot of time with these people. And it's super advantageous for you to know kind of how they think, how they operate, how they view certain things, because they're going to be an integral part of your business.
Well, you know, you would hope so. But in my experience in the past, the answer I normally get is, well, we're friends, so we get on well together, so we'll work well together. And that's when I suddenly think to myself, oh, no, not again. Because being in business together, any kind of partnership actually, can ruin a friendship. That's one of the dangers when people think because we're friends, we're going to be well, you know, working well together. And I have many experiences of that. But I'll let you jump in, Dave. I mean, do you get where I'm going here?
Oh, 100%. That relationship dynamic that you have with a friend is very different than the one that you have with a business partner. You know, when we're dealing with our friends, things tend to be a little superficial, right? We gloss over the things we disagree about, and we just sort of avoid having those types of situations. In a business context, though, we don't have that luxury. There will come times where we disagree with each other. And we can't just say, oh, never mind, we'll just, you know, talk about the weather, switch topic, talk about something else. You've got to go resolve it. And you have to have a structured way of thinking about how you will get a result from those sort of situations before you get there. So it's not enough to just sort of sit back, hope for the best, and, you know, work it out as we go. I think certainly the businesses that we've seen that have been successful with partnerships, they've got all of that nailed down before those situations arise.
Definitely agree with you, Dave. And some without naming any businesses or any names, some of the examples I can share with you today and with our listeners are, well, my question would be, so who will be doing A and who will be doing B? Because in every business, there's an A and a B and a C and a D. So we'll keep it to A and B. Oh, well, we both love to do social media, so we're both going to do it. Who's going to be doing the accounting? Well, we haven't really thought about that yet. Well, have you got a website? Well, no. Well, do you have a budget? So I ask all these questions and, you know, you just get silent. So I say, well, first of all, who likes doing what? You know, does Tom and Sarah, you know, Tom, what's your expertise? And Sarah, what's your expertise? Well, you know, I don't really like doing accounting, or I don't really like doing web work. So I go through a lot of questions. One of the things I tell people to do in these early days is build the foundations first, like you would a house, so you've got strong foundations. Answer some of the questions that you think about, like who is doing what, who has got the expertise, and have it in a document so that you've both agreed on it and you both want to work on the things that you're supposed to work on. Sometimes the less enjoyable ones, Dave.
Yeah, it's actually writing it down is a terrific exercise for another reason too, is that typically, and to your point earlier about a lot of people try to, you know, jump into a partnership style arrangement with a friend, they often, you know, because they are friends, it really means that they think similarly, or in some cases they have similar skill sets. So if you write that down and say, okay, what do we each enjoy to do? And there's a massive overlap of the things that you enjoy to do, that's probably not the right partner for you. Ideally, you want a partner that complements you, not, you know, competes with you. You don't want to, you know, get to that document, write everything down and say, okay, well, you want to do social media, I want to do social media. You want to do marketing, I want to do marketing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not very helpful. You need people that are diverse, people that enjoy doing different things. In my case, for example, I really am not super thrilled with accounting. So my ideal partner would be someone who really enjoys accounting. They can keep their hands off the technical. They can do the numbers. I'll do vice versa. Everybody is happy.
Yep, you've got it spot on. Also, there have been situations where one partner has come along with a very established business and the brand is, you know, grown, the financial aspect of it is doing well, and they've brought on another partner for whatever reason, but they didn't solidify it in the sense of, you know, the lawyers. This is when you need to bring in a lawyer, when a business is actually making money and the brand has been built. And what happened quite some years ago was that, you know, a person who'd started the business, had the brand built, was bringing in the financial aspect of it, but needed a partner for many reasons, who they trusted at the time. The other person, the new partner, just took away the business completely by making it theirs and did it through a lawyer. And the other person didn't have a leg to stand on because they hadn't even thought that someone they knew and trusted could do something like that to them. So it's a learning lesson, isn't it, Dave? You know, a curve that we all maybe don't think will happen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think that that's never going to happen to them, or it's expensive and an unnecessary step, but it really establishes guardrails for all the parties involved. You know, things always start off a little optimistic, a little rosy tinted glasses going on there, I think. And invariably, you're going to run into some difficulties in any business, right? Of any type of industry, any type of size, you're going to run into these challenges. And that legal framework is also helpful to sort of guide those partners through those difficult times and help everyone sort of stay on target, right? Like, let's not get distracted with you said this and I said that. Let's not get, you know, waylaid with something that's not core to solving the problem that we have in front of us. And that legal framework is a really helpful way to do that, because when you do run into those contentious situations, you can say, well, what does our partnership agreement look like? What does that mm-hmm. tell us? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good idea.
I definitely agree. I know that you'll remember the event I was on about, which was a long time ago, Dave. I can't remember the name of the event exactly, and I think the guy's name is Alex Ohanian. Did I get that right?
I know exactly the event you're talking about, yes.
And so for those of you who don't know, I believe he was one of the co-founders of Reddit. And is it mm-hmm. true, Dave, that was then sold, so he's not actually involved anymore?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, then. So I was thrilled to bits, since you were, Dave, I'm sure, but I'm like one of these geeky schoolgirls when I see people who are so successful and give such a lot of information away. And he said, I think there were three of them. And he said he seemed to be the one who was doing all the boring work and getting cups of coffee and stuff like that. And there were three of them, I believe, and none of them were arguing about it because they all had a plan ahead of time. And he knew that the plan for him, after the other two partners had done what they needed to do, was for him to be the face of the business. Did I get that right, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. I recall him telling that sort of story about how they were, you know, trying to find their groove, I guess, like find the role that they had. And he was sort of recanting that story of him making the coffee for everyone in the office, right? Because it turns out Everyone was busy doing something else and nobody was doing that. So he just dived in and made some coffee.
And he did become the face of the business. He did become successful. And I'd say that's something we have to think about because, being honest, even if we've decided I'll do the market research, Dave, and I'll do the marketing and, you know, you do the techie stuff, the IT stuff, there's always something left over that nobody wants to do, whether it's checking emails, whether it's phoning people. So sometimes in a partnership of two, which we're talking about today, it could be more, but let's keep it to two. You have to sometimes say, well, I don't really like phoning people, but I will do it, or I don't really like doing, you know, whatever it was I said just now, I forgot what I said, Dave, but one of the things people don't like doing. You've got to also do the things you don't enjoy in a partnership because you cannot keep doing the things you enjoy. Dave, when we became a partnership, co-founders for the Small Business Community Network, did you think we would last 21 years?
Absolutely not. No, I thought maybe perhaps a year, maybe two. Because I think the original idea was we wanted to just sort of try it out, see what would work. But I don't think we had any intention that we would just keep doing it. So clearly we've either gone very wrong or very right.
The point is we live together, we work together, we're a married couple. We both have, I have another business, you work in the corporate world. So I think it works well, but there are times that I disagree with you and I feel you don't listen to me. And I'm sure you feel the same way about me. So how do we survive? I bet people out there go, how the hell do you do it?
Well, I think the, at least for me, I'll talk for me because that's the vantage point I have. I think I look at it from a point of view of who has the best expertise. So, you know, I'll pick a contrived but real example. I suck at social media. Everyone that follows me on social media knows that I suck at social media because they probably don't see me talk about much. So if there's anything social media related or marketing in general, that's a skill that you have in spades that I don't quite have. Conversely, if it's a technical thing, if it's like how to set up a business process, how to put a system in place, I'm pretty good at that. And so I tend to sort of try and gravitate towards the mechanics, if you will, and let you have the sort of the gloss, the finesse, that front of house style sort of viewpoint, I suppose.
It's good, as I say, for us to be different. Sometimes, though, you will kind of not take my advice when you're sending out, say, one of the reminder emails, and you say, well, you know, we looked like this last year. It could be the Christmas social that the SB sent. We looked like this last year. We'll use the same graphic. And I go, no, you can't do that. People will get bored. But I think we've got used to our differences now, haven't we? What is it? There must be something about me that I disagree with other than that. I mean, do I ever try and, you know, interfere with the IT techie bit or the website, do you think?
Not so much the technical part, but some of the workflow. So like I say, I primarily take the lead on designing our processes and how we go about doing the things we do. And the example you used is a good one, right? You know, I'll try and develop a process for generating our reminders. That process aims to be efficient, right? So I'm trying to cut down the amount of work we do each and every time. And I'm sure if left to my own devices, you know, every email would look exactly the same so that there was less work to do. And you quite correctly point out that's, you know, terrific from an efficiency point of view for us. Doesn't really help engage people and get them to come to our events. So it does take a little bit of, you know, balance, I think, to make sure that we've got something that's workable, but also something that's going to be useful. And you know, I'll just take another example. You know, we may devise a process, let's say, by which somebody applies to speak. Let's pick that one. And maybe I've spent some time, we've coded it into the website, I think it works well. And then you'll come along and say, well, actually, this would be more helpful for me if it could do this. And I know just recently we had that discussion and we ended up making some changes, and those changes are very positive. I think that really helps. So having that dialogue, I think, is the important part, not just kind of digging in and saying I know best and I'm never going to change it.
And again, for the people who are new to the Small Business Community Network or our wonderful listeners, followers over many, many years, we decided in those very early days that in this case, for this business, we didn't have a budget. We knew we didn't have a budget, but we knew we wanted to help people. So having the in-house experiences, like Dave can do the techie and web stuff and I can do the other stuff, it means really we can do the whole of this business on our own. We very, well, I don't think we've ever, unless we had conferences, outsourced any of the work, because you know, it's a case of what money we make, we can plow back into the business. Does that sound right to you, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, we have a high degree of control over the things we do. I'd like to say because we're massively multi-talented, but I think the real answer is because we're cost efficient. You know, rather than going off and buying a real expensive service to do a thing and maybe it does 80% of what you want, you know, I think we've been in a very fortunate position where we can take time. I'll use our website as an example. You know, we could just go to a web design agency, say, hey, here's what we want. Here's a ton of money. Go off and build us a website. But we don't have those resources. And that website probably would match, you know, a majority of what we want, but not quite everything we want. Whereas in our case, you know, we spent probably about a year constructing the current site, so that it could have all of the things that we wanted. And there's a lot in there that you know, the average person doesn't see. It's kind of behind the scenes stuff, but we can make it work exactly the way that we need for our business. So yes, it takes longer, but it does cost less and it does give us a bit more flexibility.
But I mean, as a partnership, I think we work well together. I think it's fantastic. If we have any problems, we can talk it over. But this would apply to any partnership, really. Keeping it to two people again, communication is key. Building those first foundations, as we've talked about. If you need to get a lawyer, if it's going to be one where you are both putting money into the business, I would definitely say get a lawyer's advice on that one. Solidify it, have it on paper. Who does what kind of work? And if you get all these out of the way in the beginning, you will definitely move forward and be successful. But always have a time, like, how can I say this, a sensible time commitment. And Dave, you taught me how to work backwards, and if I'm doing anything now, I go, well, I want this finalised by 2026, July 2026. So I'll work backwards to find out how I get there and what pitfalls I could, you know, fall on. And so I think, Dave, you can have the last word. Do you know if there's ever going to be any ideal partnership? Have you ever heard of anyone who has no problems in a partnership?
Only in some kind of comic book dream version of reality. No, I don't think that there's any such thing as perfection. And I think people that strive for perfection to a fault are doing themselves a disservice. And this is maybe going to sound, you know, a little pessimistic, but sometimes good enough is good enough, right? You need to just try something. And you can always iterate. You can always improve. And I think in a partnership context, where that comes to be important is, especially in those times when there's a conflicting view of what we should do, we need to recognize that there isn't a correct answer, right? There is no right answer. So, you know, we can try things. We can try them out. We can always go back to doing it the way we did it before. We could always try something different. But we should have a little bit of courage to, you know, venture into the unknown. And I know, speaking for our partnership, that's something that you do particularly well, much better than I do. I'm very conservative. I tend to try and, you know, want to at least think that things are going to work before I try them, whereas you are far better at just, you know, venturing off, let's give it a try, see how it goes. And I'm going to hate to put it, you know, because I know everyone's listening, so I'm going to record this down. You're right more often than you're wrong.
That's the lovely thing to say. One of the co-founders of the Small Business Community Network, I really appreciate that. I don't mess around where finance is a concern, I wouldn't waste money saying, let's try this, Dave, as you know, because I don't see any point to waste money with something that my partner has already said wouldn't be a good idea. So, yeah, Dave, you gave us some wonderful thoughts then, and we are on the same wavelength. So I suppose not talk about our marriage and our personal life, which is wonderful, by the way. But no, seriously, as a partnership, I think it works well. And you do work in your corporate office. Most of the time I work in my home office or I'm out meeting people. And I think that also helps, doesn't it, that we're not in each other's faces all the time.
Yeah, I must admit that that can be helpful. I mean, even if you are working in the same proximity a lot, it's helpful to just get away, right? One of you go grab coffee, you know, go for a walk, take a little bit of time. And I'm not saying that just because you get the opportunity to sort of forget what the other one is doing, but it gives you a chance when you're not focusing on the situation, you sometimes gain a little extra perspective. Like I'm always saying I do my best work either driving to the office or when I'm asleep. And it's because I'm not focused 100% on the topic, and that's when I usually get my inspirations and creativity come. So, yeah, worth a go.
Wow, that's lovely. I've really enjoyed this this chat with you, Dave. And with September coming up, September, I believe, is the beginning of when we should be planning for the new year, 2026. And so whether you network with the Small Business Community Network or you network with anybody else, attend some networking events. Find out what's out there that suits you, your budget, your how to get there. Is it too far away? Is it virtual? Because by being around other people who are networking, it does offer you some ideas. It offers you some thoughts to think about for the new year. So I hope everyone has a wonderful day. And it's been lovely having this important Dave Ockwood, you know, the co-founder, as my guest today. I've really enjoyed it, Dave. And
pleasure.
We'll see you all again with another Small Biz podcast in the future. Have a great day.
Take care.